Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
With that said, please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we give you praise, glory, and honor. Lord, I'm asking, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Jude. And we're going to break down verses 14 through 17. Amen. Amen. And I need your attention right up here on the screen. Here we go. I've entitled, just one moment, here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, The Prophecy of Enoch. The Prophecy of Enoch. And let me just pause for a moment. Saints of God, I'm praying that this message will have relevance for today, because we are going to clearly see through Scripture and the Scriptures that I found that pertain to this topic that we are living in the last days. There is no doubt. We're seeing everything converging now. We're seeing chaos. We're seeing wars, rumors of wars, earthquakes in various places. But what's so profound that we're going to find in the book of Jude is that when Jesus comes and takes the bride home, we will be with him for approximately 7 years, and then he's coming back again to set up his kingdom here on this planet Earth for 1,000 years. But here's the thing, is that on his second return, not the rapture of the church, you got to remember, the rapture of the church, he only comes in the clouds. And then we're caught up to be with the Lord. The dead in Christ first, then we that are alive and remain shall be caught up. Okay, we get that. Then we're going to be with him in heaven for approximately 7 years. And the 7-year tribulation will start. And then the final battle will be Armageddon. And then that's when Jesus and all the saints of God from past and the present, and that's us, the born-again child of God. The Bible says we will come down with him and we will watch him go to work. We won't even have to lift a finger. We're going to watch Jesus do it all, because God is going to destroy the enemies of God. And then he's going to set up his 1,000-year millennial reign. And you and I who are logged in, that are born again believers, the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with him. Praise God. Isn't that a blessing? Well, I'm excited, saints of God, to get into this study. So if we're ready, let's go. And let's read verses 14 through 17. And the Word of God reads, Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. Verse 15, to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them all, their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all of the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against too, against Jesus. Look at this in verse 16 and 17. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to what? Their lust. Wow. Look at this. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. Verse 17, but you, beloved, it's talking to the church, talking to us, remember the words which were spoken by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we're going to be going and diving into, praise God. So let's start back with verse 14 and 15. And the Word of God reads, Now Enoch the seventh from Adam prophesied about these men also, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. That's you and I, saints of God. We'll be with him. And look at this. To execute judgment on all. To convict all who are ungodly. Them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way. And all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Wow. Wow, my friends. I want you to catch this right here on your screen. Let's look at this for a moment. I found this, and it kind of like just lets us know, and it's not exactly, but it's a picture of you and I coming back with the Lord according to the book of Jude. And it's throughout the Old Testament and New Testament as well. But if you could look on your screen, can you see which one is your horse? I know I'm kidding right now, but still, the Bible says that Jesus is going to be on a white horse, and he's coming with 10,000s of his saints. That's you and I. We're the saints of God. Praise God. Praise God. And he, Jesus, is going to execute judgment on the ungodly sinners, as we just read. And so, saints, we know a little about Enoch from the Old Testament, but when we turn to the Word of God, it identifies who he is. Let's go here right now. Let's go to Genesis 21 through 24. Look at this. Enoch. Here's the mention of Enoch. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. And he begot Methuselah. Enoch walked with God 300 years and had sons and daughters. Whoa, 300 years. Wouldn't you love to live to 300 years? So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Let me just pause there for a moment. God took him. He never experienced physical death. Wow. That is a picture and a type of the rapture. This is why we need to hold on, because when Jesus comes for the bride, we're going to be taken up just like Enoch. God's going to come take his bride, and you and I will not have to experience physical death. How many are so blessed to know that? I'm excited to know that that's a possibility this next feast. I'm not saying it is. I'm saying it's a possibility. Everything's lining up. My goodness, my goodness. How many are excited to know that Jesus is coming for his bride? Oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. You see, Enoch was in the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, yes, he was. Look at this. Look at this scripture right here found in Luke 3:37. The son of Methuselah, the son of Enoch, the son of Jared, the son of Mahalalel, and the son of Canaan. And it continues all the way down to the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is why he's mentioned. This is why he's important. And so, saints, the apocryphal, which is called the book called Enoch, describes Enoch as living seven generations after Adam. He was the seventh in order because Adam was counted as the first. The first in the Jewish ways of recording generations. Now, saints of God, during the period between the writing of the Old and New Testaments, Enoch had become a popular figure in Jewish writing. He was thought to be a figure of the Messiah and was considered to have had expert knowledge about the heavens. Praise God. Praise God. Look what the book of Hebrews says about this. Let's go here. Paul wrote this in the book of Hebrews. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. This is in the Word of God. And was not found. Why? Because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that pleased God. So what was that testimony? He lived righteous and holy before God. He loved the Lord thy God with all his whole heart, soul, and mind. He understood that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that created and spoke everything into existence, he was faithful to God. My question is, can we remain faithful to God until he comes for us? Yes, we're going to make mistakes. Yes, we're going to fall short. But the bottom line is this. Don't stay there. Get up. Call upon the name of the Lord. Ask Him to wash you and to cleanse you so that you can move forward. You see, Satan and our own conscience will be heavy burdens if we don't confess our sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to confess almost every day. Say, God, cleanse me, wash me. Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, watch for every thought that comes into my mind. And we need to put on the whole armor of God. Oh, that's right. The moment we rise up, that God gives us another day, you got to remember, He gives us one day at a time. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow's not here. He gives us one day at a time. And so the day that God gives us, we as believers need to have the full armor of God on. Yes, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, our loins girded up with truth, which is God's Word, and our feet shod prepared for the gospel of peace. Now, the reason why God had spoken to Paul to illustrate a Roman soldier, all the armor was in the front, and Roman soldiers at the time always went forward. They never retreated. One of the reasons why they wouldn't retreat, because if they turned their back to the enemy, they had no shield and protection on their backside, and a javelin, a knife, a sword would slay them right away. But they had all the armor in the front. And so as Christians, we need to put the full armor of God, and we are to never retreat. Can I get an amen in the house? Somebody got to give me an amen in the house. That's right. We must continue to move forward as soldiers of Christ. No matter what comes our way, the enemy will throw rocks and stones and slanders. The enemy will come and try to afflict your bodies. The enemy will come and try to lie to you. Oh, that's right. But I'm here to let you know, if God be for us, who can be against us? That's right. God, the living God, is with you and I. And He has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. He has placed us on solid ground. God will never, never, never leave us. And you must understand, He will fight your battle. A lot of times we want to tangle and grapple in battles of life. But God's saying, give it to me. Why? Because He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He will fight our battles, because all of our battles, your battles, my battles, they belong to the Lord. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Yes, they do. You see, my friends, Enoch had prophesied that the Lord would return in great glory, bring with Him thousands of the holy ones, the saints of God, which I just showed you an illustration. And Scripture also describes Jesus returning to the earth with the angels and the saints of God. Praise God. How many are so excited? How many are so excited to know that? Amen. I want you to catch this next verse of Scripture that I want to put up. It's found in Zechariah 14, 3 through 5. Look at this. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as He fights in the day of battle. And in that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. Now, this is after the 7 years were with Him. And now He's coming in the last battle, the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when Jesus' feet will touch the ground. Got to remember, it's not the second coming when He comes and takes the church home. He's not going to touch the ground. He's going to be in the clouds. I say this repeatedly every Wednesday, so it gets locked in. So let's read this in verse 4. And in that day, His feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half of the mountain shall be toward the north and half of it to the south. Look at this. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. Praise God. Praise. Isn't that a blessing to know that, saints? And look what was written in the book of Matthew. Matthew 16, 24 through 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and what? Follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Wow. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? We have nothing to barter with God. Look at this in verse 27 and 28. For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Wow. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Wow. Wow. How many are so blessed to know that? I am. Praise God. You see, my friends, Jude continued to quote from Enoch's prophecy, saying that the Lord would return to earth and what? To bring the people of the world to judgment and convict all the ungodly of their evil things that they have done in rebellion and all of the insults that godless sinners have spoken against him. Oh, God's going to have his final say. This is why we need to guard our mouth and our tongues. Watch what you say to one another. Do not backbite. Do not do this, all that, because God hears everything. We need to have the new nature now. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. If you're a true child of God, you have God's nature now living inside you. And so you're going to want to be more like Christ. And Christ, during this dispensation, this is the church dispensation. It's all about God's grace, his mercy, and his love. And we need to emulate that from our life. Can I get an amen? But there's going to come a day and time that we're now learning when God will come and bring final judgment. And let me just say this. You want to be with the Lord at that time and not against him. Can I get an amen? And so Jesus had a hard time with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the false teachers. Who were the false teachers? They were the ones that were raised up in the ranks of the church and decided to turn their heart against God, against the people of God, and that they would sow discord amongst the brethren. And let me just say that, when you sow discord amongst the brethren, causing a church to divide and to split, you're doing the work of the devil. Oh, that's right. You see, these false teachers and their character and actions, saints of God, their words will result in a guilty conviction on the day when the Lord returns. Praise God. So let's move on now to verse 16. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust. And they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to what? To gain advantage. See, there's an agenda here. There's always an agenda to these type of people. And guess what? 2,000 years later, there's still people in churches today that do no differently. Oh, yeah. You know, they'll say, praise the Lord, God bless you, hallelujah. But you'll see sometimes the true colors, that they're there for alternative purposes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Their agenda is not to bless the foundation, to come alongside the leadership, to pray and to fast. No, their job is to sow discord. Oh, that's right. Try to divide leaders. Try to divide congregants. Why? Because they're operating in the spirit of Jezebel. It's a Jezebel spirit. And Jezebel, hallelujah, is a spirit from the devil. And so I need you to understand, the prophets and Jesus, the apostles, they had a problem with these kind of people because they weren't operating in the power of the Holy Spirit. They were being led by Satan himself. Wow. And things haven't changed. So this is why you need to be in Bible study. You need God to teach you how to discern and how to pray, how to fast, and watch your tongue. Do not judge things. Do not speak out things that are not according to God's will. You see, my friends, Jude explained four areas of evil things done in rebellion. So first, he talked about as grumblers and complainers, that they constantly found, they would find fault in everyone and everything except themselves. You ever notice that? There's people that'll be with you for a while in church. They'll find every negative thing, and then they'll say, I'm out of here. And guess what? They take that same spirit, they take that same garbage, and they go to another church, and they do the same thing all over again. Why? To me, that is not the fruit of the Spirit. And to me, these people do not have a knowledge of the Word of God, because if they truly understood the things of God and they understood the Word of God, they would just keep their mouth shut and pray. If they see something negative, pray. Say, God, help them. Strengthen them. No, but they would rather open their mouth and cause division and try to get you to get on their side and ultimately to cause an explosion there, and then they walk away and leave you there hanging with it. Oh, I've seen this throughout 33 years of ministry, and it hasn't changed. This is why we're learning tonight to be careful. Have discernment. Have your eyes open. Have your ears open. Watch and see. That's right, because the enemy lurks in different ways, in different forms and fashions. So when people stray from God, my friends, they may become habitual complainers, unable to see God, or any good thing. Look what it says here in 1 Corinthians 10, 1 through 13. Paul exhorted this church, because there was an issue in Corinth. Look what he wrote here in verse 1 of chapter 10 of 1 Corinthians. Look at this. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all of our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Look at this. But with most of them, God was not well pleased. Uh-oh, here we go. Look at this. For their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now, these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted, and do not become idolaters as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Now, look at this in verse 8. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 fell. This is back in the days of Korah. Look at this. Verse 9. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed by serpents. Look at that. That was in the days of Moses, when he lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. Look at this. Nor complain, as some of them also complained and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition. What does admonition mean? Our learning, our understanding, our teaching, on whom the ends of the ages have what? Have come. Look at this. In verse 12 and 13, look at this. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation is overtaking you such as common to man, but God is faithful. Say that with me at home right now, those who are logged in. God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to what? Bear it. Praise God. God, praise God. See, God is looking out for us, saints. He's looking out for you and I. God will not allow us to be destroyed by the enemy in this world. Why? Because there's a purpose and a plan in your life. And God is the overseer of our life. He will watch out for us. Oh, that's right. And if anyone tries to destroy you, watch out. The Bible says, touch not my anointed. Can I get an amen in the house? Listen, if you have nothing good to say about someone, Say nothing at all. That's the bottom line. Keep it to yourself. Take it to prayer. But the moment you start blabbing things out and speaking to others about certain individuals, well, that person you're talking about has no way to defend itself. And so, the person you're telling, if they don't have true discernment on what you're doing, then they're going to fall right into your side and think differently about this person. They don't even really know the truth. Wow. So now, secondly, saints, they did whatever evil they felt like doing. This was also made clear by Jude's words throughout the epistle. Without regard for God's laws or even for basic morality, these men shamelessly indulged their lust, acting on their passions and most of their desires. Their only God, little g, was self. And they worshiped that tiny little g God wholeheartedly. Oh, that's right. There's people that love things more than God. They love things more than them than others. They love things other than coming to church and being in the Word of God. They love other things, and they'll always want to put other things in front of God. I get a kick out of it. It's like, wow, they don't know what they're missing, being in the presence of God. How many of you would rather be in the presence of God? Amen. Praise God. That's right. You see, saints, thirdly, they were loudmouth braggarts, these false teachers. And this means they were boastful men, swollen with pride. They had denied Christ and spoken against him. And these bombastic words might have been their erroneous doctrines, spoken loudly with the hopes of impressing others and making a name for themselves. Wow. Fourthly, saints of God, these false teachers would flatter others to get favors in return. And flattery is phony. And the false teachers used it as a cover-up, saints of God, for their real intentions. Instead of loving people, they used them, using flattery if necessary, to get what they wanted. Let me tell you, God knows our heart. He knows what we're up to. Can I get an amen? And so, saints, Jude could hardly have said worse about anyone. Sparing no words for these false teachers, he laid their attitudes, their words, and actions out for all to see. He meant for the Christians to take this irrefutable evidence and decide for themselves about all these false teachers. Oh, that's right. Friends, I'm crying out to you. Be careful, be careful, be careful. When someone starts murmuring and complaining and starts backbiting another person, here's what you do. You stop them in their tracks, and all you have to say, hey, listen, let's just pray. And pray for that individual. Let me just say this. Their agenda will be squashed with you, and they will stop with you. And they'll go to another to see if they could prod that person to jump on their bandwagon. That's how it works. That's how it works. Now, let's move on to verse 17 in the book of Jude. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 18. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lust. Did you catch that, my friends? In the last days, toward the end, there would be mockers mocking. Oh, yeah, where is God? And you guys are still around. It's been 2,000 years. My friends, there's always going to be people mocking you. There's going to be always people ridiculing you. There's always going to be people mocking the pastor and the elders and the church. But let me just say this. God will have the last say. God will have the last word. We are to just button it up. Don't engage. The moment you engage back with them, is the moment you'll find your place in a position no differently than theirs. We are to rise above that and just pray for them, that God would give them ears to hear and eyes to see. And so, saints of God, in addition to examples from the Old Testament of God's punishment of sin and citations from prophecy about the second coming, Jude appealed to believers to remember what the apostles had said regarding false teachers. It's throughout the Word of God. And the words of the apostles were already being considered authoritative and on the level with Scripture. That's right. Because they had that authority. And let's look at this. The words quoted here. Let's look at this. In the last times, there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to enjoy themselves in every evil way imaginable. That's the purpose of the scoffers. And this is why it's mentioned throughout Scripture. Oh, my friends, I'm telling you, it parallels what's written in 2 Peter. Look at this. Let's go here right here. Look at this. We're going to get there, but I want you to look at Mark 13:21 here. Then if anyone says to you, look here, the Christ, or look there, here he is, there he is, do not believe it. Jesus said, for false Christs and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to what? To deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. Did you catch that? Jesus even said, take heed that there'll be false prophets. People praying over you, ha, la, 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 and giving you a false prophecy. Saying, thus saith the Lord. Oh, be careful. Be careful when people says, I believe the Lord is speaking to me about this situation, about your life. What? I've always just respond this way. Really? Well, he can clearly speak to me. And I'd rather have him speak to me than through a secondary party. And the case closed. That's it. It's done. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, Jesus and the apostles forewarned all believers that during that interim, including the time in which we live, scoffers will come. And to scoff means to show contempt for something by one's actions and language. And that language is to mock. You see, my friends, these false teachers scoffed at the truth and taught their own lies. Oh, yes, they did. They despised all morality and religion. Jesus had warned against the deception of these false teachers. Now look, let's go back here to this scripture. Jesus even warned us. Look at verse 22. False Christ and false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to what? To deceive. Possible even the elect. This is why we need to guard our heart. Because you and I have been elected by God. But take heed, see, I have told you what? All these things beforehand. Praise God. Praise God. Aren't you so blessed to know that, saints? Look what else is written right here. Found in the book of Acts. Paul wrote this. Well, Luke wrote it, the account of Paul's behalf. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves would come in among you, not sparing the flock. Look at that. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up, speaking perverse things to draw away, what? The disciples after themselves. Wow. That was 2,000 years ago. It hasn't changed. I've seen church splits. I've seen a big giant church split in half, and the leadership came against each other. There was a lot of bickering and infighting and backbiting and all kinds of just things that should not even been said to one another. And then one will take a group of people, the other will take another group, and left that place. barren. That's not God. That's not His will. But yet, we're forewarned in the book of Jude that these things would happen. Jesus is telling us to take heed. The apostles is telling us to take heed, saints of God. And we need to take these things seriously. Look at this in this next verse of scripture right here. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 through 3. Now, the Spirit itself expressly says that in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving what? Heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Let me just say this. This seared with a hot iron. I remember back in the day, I was in high school. You know, back in the day, we wanted to wear khakis and a Pendleton. And let me just tell you, we would iron that crease so that it was seared, so that there was no shadow of a doubt that you had a crease. And wherever you went, whether you worked or played with those seared pants, that crease would not change because it's so seared in with that hot iron. Well, guess what? These false teachers had a seared mind to do evil, to backbite. They wanted to make sure that what they were spewing out would bring chaos, division, and destruction. And so it's a real matter with God. And this is why this teaching is so important to all of us. Can I get an amen in the house? It's important to all of us, saints. And we need to take heed. We really need to take heed because God is coming back soon. And how many can't wait to see His return? Can I get an amen? Oh, that's right. That's right. Now, look what else was written in the book of Timothy, in 2 Timothy. But know this. I want you to catch this now, saints. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Oh, we don't know kids like that, do we? Oh, yes. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. We're seeing this in our society right now with all the riots and all the evil that's taking place in our inner city. And New York, you can't even walk by yourselves without getting mugged or getting punched on. That's right. Look at this in verse 4. Traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Let me just pause right there. It never fails. Every time the football season comes around, there's a lot of people you don't see in the morning. Why? Because they'd rather be home in pleasure watching a game. Listen, that's why you got DVRs. Record the game, but come into the house of the Lord first. Can I get an amen in the house? Is there someone giving me a 5 on that one? Oh, okay. Maybe it's just me that sees this. Let's look at this. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. What does that mean? There's a whole bunch of folks. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Oh, yeah. Glory to God. Yes. And they go home and they live a life of duplicity. Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. They leave their church stuff at home, at church. They come home. They come home and they yell at their wife or husband and they'll kick the dog. Oh, come on. Oh, that's right. They're a bunch of meanies on the inside. Look what this verse of scripture right here I found in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. But there were also what? But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there were being false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. Look at this. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. by covetousness, they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time, their judgment has been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Case in point, where it says in verse 3, by covetousness, they exploit what? They exploit you with deceptive words. Man, I've been to so many churches, and here comes the evangelist, and here comes the money. Now, I know some of you can give $2,000 to sow into this ministry. Line up right here. And then I want the $1,000 ones to line up here. I want the $100 lines right here. And if you're giving $1, you can line up right over here. Fleecing the flock. For what? Covetousness. Deceptive words. Say, man, you sow all this money, and you watch God give you the Cadillac that you've been wanting. And so they just bleed them. And they walk into the garage every day, and they see that they still have a Volkswagen Bug. It didn't turn into a Caddy. You see, it's all over the place. All these false prophets and false teachers giving you a false hope. The hope that we need to have is that Jesus is coming for His church. Can I get an amen? God is coming back for us, and He's going to eradicate all this mess down here on this earth so that we can finally be with the Lord Jesus Christ forevermore. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. Luke and John wrote right here in 1 John, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God, capital S, you know that Holy Spirit. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. Look at this in verse 3. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Oh yes, it's already in the world, my friends. I'm here to let you know that Jesus is soon to come. I hope this message has spoken volumes to you. And you know where it starts? It starts right at home. We need to clean up our homes. We need to get our homes in order. If we have aught with our spouses, we need to get that right. If we have a falling out with our children, we need to get that right. If we have issues with people in church, we need to get that right. If we have issues at work with our co-workers, we need to get that right. We need to get right with God. We need to be a vessel of righteousness, of holiness. For the Bible says, without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. We need to be about our Father's business. Yes, I know that this message probably wasn't a message that you anticipated, but this is good for us. It's a reminder. It's a reminder that God is good. God is merciful. God is gracious. But we're also reading for our understanding that these things that are mentioned is what God opposes. And we don't want to be on the opposing side of God. Can I get an amen in the house? We want to be on His team. How many of you want to be on His team? I do. I want to be on His team. I want to love the things that God loves, and I want to distance and hate the things that God hates. And let me just say this. Even when we fall short, the Bible says we have an advocate with the Father, and that is Christ Jesus. All we have to do is confess, repent of it, walk away from it, from that sin, and keep walking after Christ. Don't let the devil condemn you. You see, this is what I love about God. God will convict us to expose us of that particular sin, but Satan will condemn you and bring condemnation. And this is why you see people like this. They have no joy. They have no joy in their life. Because they're always walking in defeat. I'm here to let you know we need to walk in victory. Can I get an amen? Listen, if you read the end of the Bible, we won. We won. We need to walk in victory. Yes, are we going to go through life with trials and tribulation? Yes. Are we going to go through certain situations that we didn't see coming? Yes. But God is with us. God is with you. God is with me. And we need to surround ourselves, not just with the armor of God, but we also need to surround our lives with the same like manner of people that love God, that will pray for you, that won't blab out your business. Can I get an amen? We need to be a people of integrity, that our character would be a character that someone can trust and say, man, these people walk after God and I want to be like them because they're following after Jesus. That's the people I want to hang around with. I don't want to hang around with evildoers and backbiters and those who want to manipulate those that you thought were friends at one time and they're not. You'll see their true color. I want to be around people that love the Lord thy God with all their heart, soul, and mind. And so, my friends, I'm here to let you know that soon and very soon, Jesus is coming. And we need to take heed that as soon as he comes, he's going to take us away. Praise God. How many can't wait? I've got proof. Look at this. God wrote this through the Apostle Paul by the Holy Spirit to the Thessalonians. He says, but I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow others have no hope. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. Verse 16, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Look at this. Verse 17 and 18. Then we, that's you and I, who are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Woo! And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, in verse 18, frighten one another. No! Comfort! Comfort one another. We are to comfort one another. Can I get an amen? Praise God. And so the greatest event that's around the corner that this world is going to witness is Jesus coming for his church. And I truly believe once we're gone, that's when the tribulation will kick in. The Antichrist will rise up, but we won't be here for that. Because we will know who he is and what he's all about. And we can warn others, but God will call the curtain call. He will close the door and we will be with him forevermore. We will be with him for 7 years in heaven, celebrating the marriage supper of the Lamb, the coronation of the King. Oh, that's right. The books will be open. Praise God. And we will honor the King and bless the Lord Jesus. And then that's when he's coming. 7 years later, to bring judgment on this ungodly world. I hope you get yourself ready, because it's going to be so fast when he takes us home. The Bible says it's faster than the twinkling of an eye. And I did a word study on the twinkling of an eye. It's actually faster than the speed of light. Oh, yes. Let's look at this in the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 15, 50 through 54, Paul wrote to this church and said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed. Look at this. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed. Look at that. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Praise God. How many can't wait? How many can't wait for that moment? Listen, those of you who are logged in right now, maybe for the first time, second time, third time, and you've truly never given your heart to the Lord Jesus. In other words, the Bible says this, to repent. Turn from our sinful ways, turn to the living God, cry out to God for forgiveness of our sins, and then what happens during repentance, then He applies the blood to wash us from our sins, which is the original sin that came from Adam. When that takes place, then He fills us with the Holy Spirit of promise. You see, God will not walk in a, He won't allow Himself to be walked around in a vessel that hasn't been washed in His blood. Oh, that's right. Because God will not dwell in darkness. So once that person has been washed in the blood, now the Holy Spirit could come in and take residence in that person's life. And that lets you and I know that that born-again Christian is now heaven-bound and a hell to shun. Wow. But if that has not taken place with you, what you're about to see right now, don't let this happen to you. Let's watch this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for His church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming." I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or He might come next week, or He could even come...
You know, my friends, that's always going to be the million-dollar question. Are you ready? Are you ready? Have you truly repented of your sins and asked God to remove those sins by faith? Listen, there's a scripture I'm going to show you right now that we can apply to our life and believe every word that is written, spoken by the Apostle Peter. Let's look at this right now. Let's look at this. In Acts chapter 2, verse 38 through 39, the very first sermon given to Peter was, "Then he told them all during the feast of Pentecost. Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sin.'" That means forgiveness. "And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And what is the gift? Eternal life. "For the promises to you and to your children and to all afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Wow. Wow, my friends. It's that simple. It's that simple. That's right. Let's give God praise and glory for what He's doing in your life and my life. But listen, if this hasn't taken place with you, I'm going to give you an opportunity right now to receive the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And all you have to do is cry out, and I'm going to lead you into a prayer. And trust God that God will hear you. He listens to those who will repent and turn to Him with a contrite spirit and a broken spirit and a contrite heart. The Bible says God will not despise. So if that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me from all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for every sin. Come into my life. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Someone just got saved. Listen, if you just gave your heart to Christ, down below, look at that, is our website. Log on, reach out to us, email and phone numbers there. We like to pray with you. We like to take you a little further and what to do from this point on and give you a Bible, put a Bible in your hand. Oh, that's right. And we want to see you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also down below, we are so many thankful for all those who contribute to this ministry, for donations are deeply appreciated. So, my friends, it's time now to say goodnight. I thank and praise God for each and every one of you that have tuned in. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, we're going to be blessed this Sunday. It's Mother's Day. Don't forget to bring your moms, your grandmothers, your aunts, those who are mothers. And we got a special little gift for them. And so I want to send my benediction and dismiss us for this evening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his shalom, his peace, in Jesus' name. And so, my friends, we love you. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. Take care. God bless. And we'll see you then. Bye-bye now.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.